Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. And we're coming at you live and unedited, as always, free. We are your home, Proteus, for free, unedited combat knowledge. That's right. We will never charge you a dime, we hope. Right? Because we just don't do that. I mean, we're doing this for the love of the game. I guess the times are tough, but you got to provide free content. I'm sorry. That's got to be provided, Proteus. Especially after the chaos that was at UFC 223. We're coming at you, of course, live and unedited from the Amp Radio studio in Danville, California, and Amp Radio International in Brantford, Ontario, where the weather's always fantastic. Right, Proteus?
Definitely true.
I guess not. One hell of a weekend, Proteus. We had WrestleMania 34, and I know we don't talk pro wrestling. I'll be the first one to admit, I'm not a pro wrestling fan. I was at one point many, many years ago. But I found it pretty interesting that Dana was there. Ronda looking kind of fit. That was pretty interesting. Maybe we'll glance over that. We, of course, had Bellator in Turkey with Bendo fighting your boy, Roger Huerta. We'll get into that quickly. In UFC 223, where Proteus and I were once on that card. Pam was scratched from the card. Marco was scratched from the card. Somehow we went from 13 to 14 fights to about 9, Proteus. Let's meet my top gun. Let's meet my yin to my yang. Let's meet my the Batman to my Robin, or the Robin to my Batman. We'll figure it out. Hit it!
Waza!
Waza!
What a weekend, Tony. What a whirlwind.
I missed the waza. I'm going to have to put that in. Now that you, of course, host Down with the Pickness / Smack My Picks Up, we miss the was up, so I might have to steal that from you. This is for, of course, Proteus
no
and Marco.
Was
up?
Was
up? Oh, we have that famous Blog Talk Radio delay. Let's get into it, Proteus. The fight that was, the card that was. Let me ask you this. Before we get into it, Proteus, did this live up? And it's not going to live up to our initial expectations, which was a super stacked card. Tell me if I'm unfair by saying this, probably the most stacked card on paper since UFC 205 or UFC 200. Which one's the one where it had McGregor, it had Diaz, it had, which card was that in New York? Was that 205?
205 in Madison Square Garden, yeah.
On paper, this seemed to be almost there, right? In terms of when it was originally announced?
Absolutely. We noted that on Monday when we recorded. Even though there was a change at the top of the card with the main event, we still said, very, very stacked card. Then, Conor McGregor handled that for us.
NYPD getting involved? The rage in the cage, or maybe the rage outside of the cage. Someone called it, I forgot who it was, and I'm stealing now. Someone called it the Mystic Massacre. It was absolutely crazy. Yeah, not bad, right? Someone came up with that, and
not bad.
I have to give. I always want to give credit to where credit is due, but let's get into this one. This was a Decisionator card, Proteus. Bonus awards, of course, given to Fight of the Night. This was one hell of a fight. Zabid Magomedsharipov, and insert TJ Who's Your Mama there.
TJ Who's Your Mama.
And Kyle Bochniak. Yeah, because I ruined that one, right? Performance of the Night. I may have issues with this one. Chris, once well, again, there were only two finishes. So Chris Grootsmacher, and of course, OAM, Olivier Aubin-Mercier, your pal from Canada. This was held April 7th at the Barclays Center, Brooklyn, New York. Your boy Dana says it was sold out. Proteus gate, well over 3 million. What's funny is the ticket sales were great. Then, believe it or not, Ferguson falls out. The ticket sales skyrocket with Holloway. And of course, they died down a bit. Let me ask you this. If you're a guy that's sitting in Canada that has already booked his flight, you can cancel your flight. You've already booked your room. You probably can cancel it, right? This is Thursday or Friday, whenever the madness goes down. Are you going to go out and sell your tickets, or are you going to attend?
Well, Tony, I think if I'm a casual fan that has spent, you know, that great deal of money on, or invested that great deal of money in this event, I go anyways, because you know there's going to be a lot of events going on around the fight card. You know, you're going to New York of most places, of all places. You know, I know it's Brooklyn, but there's going to be lots of excitement. There's going to be lots of things to do. Lots of meet and greets, you know, with MMA press and such like that. And then, of course, you just want to be near the events that are happening. It, like you said, huge card. Although on Thursday, I'm kind of thinking to myself, after Conor McGregor goes crazy and everybody falls out, geez, I'm a little bit disappointed about that and really, really pissed off at Conor McGregor, to be honest with you.
You know, I don't blame you. He actually ruined a lot for a lot, right? Meaning a lot for the sport, ruined a lot for the UFC, made the sport look poor. Worst thing is, I didn't get to see Pettis. I didn't get to see Chiesa. I didn't get to see Ray Borg. And listen, I'm not a flyweight fan. You know that. But I still wanted to see it. That was a good card. Brandon Moreno. And I don't think Rose was already... Yeah, I don't think Rose was all there, and which made it even more impressive. Let's get into it, Proteus, because we have spoken a little too long. And, of course, the main event is brought to you by Green Life.
Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
To the lightweight, we went. Khabib Nurmagomedov defeats Ally Quintanilla. Really, I don't think anyone's surprised at this point. Unanimous decision, and it was 50-44, 50-43, 50-43. I agree with all those scores, Proteus. Am I crazy?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was definitely a one-sided event. I mean, when you spend three of the five rounds on the ground trying to fend off a Russian beast, that's the way it's going to go. But, yeah, I agree with the scores.
Here's the one part that was disappointing. So I know that you don't like listening to the play-by-play. The play-by-play was a little harsh on Khabib. They thought he was basically playing with his food, goofing around. I think Javier Mendez, our boy, friend to the show, was also getting on him quite a bit, especially in the fourth and fifth rounds. I do think Khabib was tired, like you mentioned, but I think tired men don't talk smack. He was talking smack. He kept throwing that jab. As I told you, I thought his right hand was broken because he was shaking it a little. But to be honest with you, I thought he was just goofing around. I thought this was This putt was very, very easy for him. It felt very, very easy for him. And I thought he was goofing around. What say you?
Yeah, and we kind of discussed a little bit on the phone last night, and we had to stop ourselves, Tony. But I thought that this conversation was going to be kind of interesting just from what you had told me. And as longtime listeners to the show know, and as you just mentioned, I quite frequently listen to these fights without the audio, without the commentators, without the corner noise, just to see the reaction of the fighters and, of course, to come to my own conclusion. As you had mentioned just a moment ago, Tony, I thought that Khabib was tired. I mean, if you spend three rounds trying to get a guy out of there, and again, Al Iaquinta, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the images look like. You know, you see Inermi flattening him out and trying to hit him in the head. That takes energy out of your arms. It takes energy out of your legs. And I thought Al Iaquinta did a great job. I mean, it looked like for the first three rounds that Al Iaquinta was in a very, very tough wrestling practice. That man managed to get out of everything that Inermi was trying to put on him, whether it be chokes, whether it was Inermi was trying to get Al's back, managed to stay alive to get to the third or the fourth and the fifth round, or the end of the third and the fourth round and most of the fifth round, which I thought was extremely entertaining, Tony. So to just wrap up what I was saying, I thought Inermi was gassed. I thought he was very tired. As I mentioned in our preview to this fight card, I think Inermi goes three good rounds and then he has trouble with the championship rounds, and we kind of saw that, and we didn't see a takedown until late in the fifth. Again, Inermi had tried to get those takedowns in the third and the fourth, but was stuffed by Al Iaquinta. And when this fight was on the feet, I really enjoyed it. You know, you mentioned Khabib trash talking. Well, look, at if you got a Rocky style kind of fight happening in front of you, Al Iaquinta was jabbering at him too. So I mean, it went both ways. They were both really, really game. And honestly, Tony, I'm going to be honest, when that fight went to the ground at the end of the fifth, I was disappointed because I was really, really enjoying the stand-up battle.
Interesting that you point that out. I wasn't enjoying the stand-up battle, and I'll tell you this, and it's, boy, you hit the nail. Talk about segueing. You were talking about Rocky, and I mentioned this to you. So I've been boxing probably, I started boxing when I was a kid just because I was forced to, kind of didn't really get, like it. And of course, later on in life, I go into kickboxing. Khabib's chin, I don't know why I say Khabib, and I know better it's Khabib, but Khabib's chin was way out there. His and he does this a lot where he drops his hand, especially when he's showing lack of respect for the opponent. And for Al Iaquinta's face, and keep in mind, there's been rumors for quite some time that he has some CTE, right? That he has brain trauma. He kept getting hit by that jab over and over and over again, just like a Rocky movie, like I mentioned to you. And his head kept just going back, and obviously he was bloody, etc. Any fear at that point? To me, it just looked like, and again, I know I've mentioned this over and over again, he didn't look like much of a stand-up fight. Credit to Al Iaquinta, but this is what I think, Proteus. I think Khabib had two letdowns. First off, he knows he's going to fight a tough fighter in Ferguson, and who, honestly, I had Khabib beating Ferguson. And then I know that he's going probably into an even tougher battle with Holloway, even on 6 days' notice. But I knew Khabib was going to beat Holloway. Any letdown where he has that level of opponent in his head, you think, and then he has to fight Raging Al?
Well, I think if you take anyone lightly in the UFC, you're going to find that you made a mistake. And I think what Inermi had been saying at the press conference afterwards was good for him to say. He just tried to keep his mind focused. And of course, you're going to have, with all the amount of distraction that came with this week and the unprecedented amount of craziness, let's be honest. There's got to be some sort of letdown. But, Al Iaquinta was in there, game, strong, did not train for a championship fight. He was training for a three-round fight. And just to get on a little bit of a tangent here, the UFC, we talk about the UFC and how they build stars, or whether or not they're good at it. they have been holding Ally Aquinta down for years. And, at the last minute, Ally Aquinta comes through for them, really the last minute, and gets into this fight and shows that he's a very game fighter. And if they don't start using Ally Aquinta more often, I mean, obviously after they give his brain a rest, that's a travesty, because he's very, very talented and he showed that. Now, one quick thing I wanted to say, that this fight did remind me of, you ever played Mike Tyson's Punch Out back in the day? And your character was like tiny compared to, your character was really, really tiny and close to the screen and everybody else was gigantic. That's what this reminded me of. It reminded me of Mike Tyson's Punch Out, because Ally Aquinta trying to get inside of that jab was hard work, man. And if he had a bit more head movement, Tony, you know, perhaps he stays away from some of those punches. But I think, you know, Ally Aquinta is just too tough for his own good. I got away from the question. Did I answer it?
No, you did. You did. And, of course, you know, listen, we're all about head movement. All right. We're all about head movement because we are. You're free. Unedited combat knowledge. So we're all about head movement. All right. Well, never mind. I'll give myself crickets here. Let me ask you this, though, and I don't want to prolong this because we have a lot of cards to talk about, but I do want to ask you this. So let's just say I think that they're going to punish Connor like they normally do, Proteus, which is absolutely not a goddamn thing. You'll do nothing.
Not at all.
You'll do nothing, right? But who is the next opponent for Khabib? Because I don't think it's going to be McGregor. Who do you see as the next opponent for Khabib?
Well, it's definitely not going to be McGregor in any part of the United States of America. That's for sure. I mean, as Dana White had mentioned, you know, it's kind of out of their hands right now, and it's a legal thing. Just quickly before I answer the question, you're right. I don't know how much discipline there's going to be on the UFC side. The biggest fight for them to make, Tony, is that Khabib versus Conor McGregor matchup. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, that's going to be the moneymaker. That's going to be the thing that sells tickets, that puts butts in the seat. Who's next? If Tony can heal up well, if he's going to get surgery and that surgery ends up healing up well, you do that. I would love to see.
Wow, for the fifth time, huh? Max.
You got to do it, man. Like, if they both continue to win, you got to do it at some point. And maybe you get the stars aligned and you get lucky. What did you say? The MMA hierarchy? I love that one. I thought that's way smarter than the MMA god. If they allow you to have it, if they allow you to actually get it done, because we were, 6 days out from the fight and it fell out. So crazy. I would like to see Max Holloway in there, give him a full camp, give him the time to train for it, give him the time to cut the weight in a healthy and appropriate manner. And I just wanted to comment one thing here. If the New York State Athletic Commission had a problem with Max Holloway cutting as much weight as he had to cut, they should have probably told us that on Sunday or Monday, as opposed to, you know, seeing Max Holloway in the state and the condition that he was in and then pulling him from the card, even though you have an expert in weight cutting telling and advising the commission that he's going to make it. He'll be fine. I don't know who the athletic commission had advising them on weight cutting, but I definitely think that they weren't as talented as George Lockhart. So Tony, Max Holloway are the first two I would like to see. And of course, if Conor McGregor can get his shit together, you got to throw him in there, because that's going to be big, big, big money. Not in the States, though. Can't do it in the States.
Very good point on the Holloway thing, because I didn't even think about that. But very good point, because I think we all knew that he was going to have a tough time making it. I told you that he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
But I thought he would fight. I didn't know the NYSAC was that tough. New York State Athletic Commission. Yeah, I got that right. I didn't know they would be that.
I wanted to give you your propers, because you did say that. And you did mention that on the last Monday. So your propers are right there for you.
Thank you, sir. And I really do appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I think Rock even left me a message on that.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Thank you. All right, let's get into it. To the women's strawweight, we went Rose Namajunas. To no one's surprise, all of you guys, of course, picked Rose. I chose JJ in a 5-round decision. I don't think anyone else went via decision. And to be honest with you,
no, sir.
In my eyes, it was 2-2 going into the fifth. And I thought Rose clearly won that fight. I don't think JJ can beat Rose any longer. I think there's a lot of doubt on her side, but it went as I thought it would. Rose being there early, although she, in my eyes, Proteus looked a little out of it, but more than usual, right? But she goes in because she's usually calm, but I think she looked nervous this time. Goes into it. I think she wins the first 2 rounds quite clearly. And one can argue maybe in the second that JJ did a little better than usual. I thought the scores were really one-sided. I thought it was a lot closer than that. But I do think Rose clearly won that fight. Joanna, in my eyes, clearly took the third and the fourth. What say you, Pearl?
Yeah, I think it was, to agree with you, it was a close fight, but definitely one-sided towards Rose. And just to speak about brain trauma real quickly, Joanna at the post-fight press conference, I mean, let's not see that again, because that was, I felt very, very sorry for her. She looked like she's dealing with some, you know, not only emotional state, but having some brain damage, because that was a fight. Rose was tagging her. I mean, she wanted, JJ wanted to come back to the CompuBox numbers, but that's not how we judge fights. I mean, you can land on as significant strikes as you want, but if the other person is making the most damage and controlling the fight, I mean, Rose was definitely tagging JJ a lot more. I mean, there was one point in the fight where Rose landed a serious left to the chin of JJ, and JJ's arm immediately goes up to where it should have been. You know what I mean? She kept on doing that throughout the fight. Oh, dang, I got caught with my hands down again. And she would try and glue that arm or that fist back to her chin, and a little too late. I thought Rose looked amazing. Her footwork, and she was complaining about, you know, feeling heavy or sluggish. Yeah, of course, there was a lot of shit that went down, and I apologize for the language. But again, there was a lot of stuff that went down all week. And you know, with that bus incident, anybody would be traumatized by that. But the way that she was evading and just stepping out of the way. Go ahead, Tony.
I will say this, though, Proteus. Hand speed clearly was on JJ's side. That was clear. But and I think for the most part, she actually kept her hands up and kept them up pretty well. But that left hook, that left, I mean, that jab just kept coming in. So I wonder, let me try to get a little bit more composure on this. I think it was Marco that said this. It might have been you, where someone just has their number. It doesn't make a difference how many times they fight or how close it is on paper. Someone can just beat someone. I think it was Joe Rogan was talking about awkward movement. It didn't look like awkward movement to me in terms of that left hook coming in. But boy, she just kept tagging her repeatedly. And I wonder, and this is, by the way, with JJ having a lot more hand speed, I wonder if Rose is just too powerful for JJ.
Yeah, and JJ had mentioned that she thought Rose wasn't a hard hitter. But, I mean, we clearly saw that in this fight. I mean, as you mentioned, those, not only the hooks, but the straight punches, they were coming straight down the pipe. You just watched Rose throw those punches with bad intentions. And, you know, the contact was amazing. Of course, JJ, you know, changing the game plan a little bit. Look, first of all, I thought JJ was gassed after the first round, breathing through her mouth. Maybe her nose was compromised earlier on in the fight. But I noticed, you know, not only was JJ taking in more water, but she was also taking, you know, deep breaths through her mouth through most of the fight. And it was amazing that she kept in there. And I think one of the things, or two things, that allowed JJ to stay in the fight was the knees and the clinch against the fence. Those things got to hurt. I mean, Rose took some serious shots to the body, some knees to the body. And she also took some serious leg kicks. Okay, and that lead leg of Rose is out there for the taking. And I think that's one thing that JJ showed in this fight, that, you know, Rose's lead leg is definitely there for the taking, whether it be inside or outside kicks. I also thought maybe JJ had compromised her right foot in some way, because she stopped throwing it about the third round. And of course, they started doing that weird
totally agree
stretch me out thing. that they were doing. I mean, that right there was like, oh, okay, she's definitely, her foot is effed up. Because she stopped throwing it, and she started throwing the left leg to the inside of Rose's lead leg. And again, props to Rose, because she kept coming, and apparently, as Dana White liked to point out, and as Rose pointed out, you know, she was still walking around fine on that leg, you know, not taking a wheelchair or anything, still able to walk on it. And as Rose said, you know, Pat Barry, one of the hardest leg kickers in the world, so maybe she's kind of used to it. I guess you would have to if you're going to leave that lead leg out. I thought it was an impressive performance by Rose, and like you said, maybe she just has JJ's number.
I think so, Proteus. I think if we run this back 10 more times, Rose beats her, not joking, 10 more times. I have come to that conclusion, because I just don't see a path of victory with JJ. And this was a good, I mean, these were championship rounds, 5 rounds. And I just didn't see a way that JJ was going to win. Kudos to the leg kicks. I completely, and I had that as my show notes written down somewhere, and that was part of it, no doubt about it. I think I'll tell you this, in the future, I think Rose is going to have problems, because she fights a lot like, you know, the older style fighters, where they're heavy on that lead leg, and I think she fights that way. And I think we've proven that to smart fighters, or to fighters that know how to kick, Jeremy Stevens proved that against Gilbert Melendez, and we've seen it just time and time again, that style no longer works. We've seen it with, you know, Nick and Nate. That style is tough to fight in today's MMA. So it'll be interesting to see going forward. It'll be interesting to see her against Jessica Andrade, because I think Jessica Andrade, even though she's much smaller, I think she'll tear up that leg, Proteus. Let's move down. We'll touch on 2 quick fights, and then I definitely want to talk a little bit about Joe Lauzon. Featherweight, we went. Renato Moicano defeated Calvin Kattar in a very good fight all the way around. Really props to Calvin Kattar, because that leg was getting chopped up. And boy, I'll tell you, that's another thing there, where we saw 2 fights in a row kind of go in the same direction. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, Calvin Kattar is certainly tougher than I thought. Zabit Magomedsharipov defeated, insert, by the way, TJ, who's your mama, defeated Kyle Bochniak. Yeah, in a great fight, right? I mean, that was a great, great fight. And Zabit Magomedsharipov, I haven't seen him fight before, but boy, that kid looked really impressive. Lightweight Chris Krutmacher. Yeah, right. And really tall and lanky. I mean, right, reminded me of what you would be like if you fought, right? Because you're tall, you're lanky, and I think using maybe your reach to your advantage, et cetera, and just, I mean, shots out of nowhere. Chris Krutmacher defeated Joe Lauzon in a basically 2-corner stoppage. Kudos to Joe Lauzon's corner for stopping that. I got to ask you this, Proteus. We don't, taking John Anik's phrase, we're not here to retire fighters, but I think it's time to retire Joe Lauzon, bro.
Yeah, I was going to lead exactly with that statement as well. I'm not here to retire anybody, but yeah. First of all, good to see the corner actually stopping something. I mean, there's no shame in that game. You got, you know, you don't want your fighter to take too much damage, and people that don't throw in the towel. I mean, we see Nate Diaz throw in the towel again for Nick when he was getting dominated. This is exactly the same kind of thing. Joe was getting dominated, and Joe does not owe MMA or MMA fans anything. Okay, he can go out like this, and in my mind, be it's still a Hall of Fame ballot kind of guy. Not first, you know, not first ballot, but he's definitely been one of those guys that, you know, maybe not ever contended for a belt, but, you know, always a very solid, sneaky guy getting wins when you don't think he's going to win. Really, really, you know, I'm on Joe Lauzon is on Team Proteus for sure. Always enjoyed his fights from the day one, of course. Coming into the UFC and shocking us the way he did. Impressive. And then his whole career, I mean, he's got one of the highest bonus levels. So, yeah, Joe Lauzon doesn't owe us anything. But, yes, Tony, in a roundabout way, he needs to be done. I don't think he owes us anything. And, you know, he's got a family now, and he's probably got amount of money sitting on, you know, to sit on. So, Joe, just, you know, maybe get into commentating. Everybody else seems to be doing that, and I think Joe would be great at that.
There's only so much room. Let me read you this to sort of make it a little shocking and maybe closing the door on this. Three straight losses to Stevie Ray, Clay Guida, and Chris Kreutzmacher. I'm probably butchering his last name, Kreutzmacher. 1-4 in his last, 1-3, rather, 1-4 in his last five, 2-4 in his last six. I'll make it even worse. 3-9 in his last, 3-6 in his last nine. That's not good, pro. Yeah. I mean, those are not good numbers. And two straight KOs, by the way, in his last two fights. So hopefully someone does the right thing. Let's go to the prelim card we go. And this was to your spotlight fight, all credit to you. And of course, I would have gone with this as my spotlight fight if it wasn't for Bendo fighting Roger Huerta. But Proteus, let's get into it. To the women's strawweight we went. Carolina Kovalkiewicz defeat Felice Herrig in a split decision. I didn't see it as a split decision. I thought it was a unanimous decision.
Yeah.
Pretty good fight. Nothing really exciting. I mean, I guess good technically for KK. Felice looked like the Felice Herrig that I've seen before. Certainly not the Felice Herrig that we've had in the last four fights where she had that four... I think it was a 4-5 win streak. What say you, bro?
Yeah, I don't know if there was nothing interesting here. Again, I try, as you know, I don't listen to the commentary on these fights. So I'm more focused on what is happening. Carolina looking spectacular in this fight, in my opinion. Some of the combos that she was able to land, she's, you know, going in there with a punch or a leg kick and then throwing... a really sneaky elbow on the way out, and then, you know, throwing another punch on the way out as well. Just stunning Felice. I mean, anytime that Carolina tried to wrestle Felice, of course, that's Felice's wheelhouse. But I thought Carolina just dominated this fight. The split decision, yeah, I don't know where that came from. That's just ridiculous because that's not... I mean, and of course, Carolina looking very concerned. You know, when she heard the split decision, I mean, she clearly got all three rounds there. I don't know which round you would give to Felice. But KK, I thought, looking like the higher-end fighter. I mean, Felice, yes, she's been looking good. She's been looking improved and probably needed to get against a contender like Carolina to just to gauge where she's at on the higher level or the higher end of this division, because Carolina is definitely at the higher end of this division. Would be a very interesting fight to see her against Rose again, because they're both improved so much since last time. And I just thought Carolina looked great. But I mean, I think Carolina looks great all the time. I was a little thrown off by the cornrows on both women. Just not the best look. But I know they got to get their hair out of the way.
I'll tell you what was a great look, Proteus. Carolina Kovalkiewicz in a face-off with the thigh-high boots. Now, that was a good look.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. You know what? I better shut this music off because we're not playing this music for the lightweight men. AOM, Olivier Aubin-Mercier defeated Evan Dunham in 53 seconds. Just honestly, knees to the body, punches just finished Evan Dunham. One who needs to wonder where Evan Dunham is. I got to ask you about OAM because he's been on a good win streak, Proteus, and no one really talks about him. I don't know if he's ranked, to be honest, just to be fair. But what say you about OAM? Yeah, you know me. That didn't go.
I think impressive win. I think you were alluding to it earlier on when we talked about Joe Lauzon as well. I mean, Evan Dunham doesn't owe us anything either. I mean, freak savage, though. I mean, when you get a knee like that to the body, I mean, anybody's going to be compromised by that knee. That knee was very impressive by OAM. And I thought very smart by Mercier he was throwing the punches against the fence, but very smart to go ahead and throw that knee to the breadbasket again. I thought that was very impressive, very high fight IQ, and of course, early in the fight, so maybe everybody's brain is still in the fight, but impressive win by OAM. I mean, we've not really taken notice of him before because, again, as he mentioned in his post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, this is his first TKO. Every other fight that he's been in is kind of, you know, wrestling centric, which of course he is at his core, a wrestler. Didn't need to really take any of that into account in this fight. Evan just got caught, and we say people get caught, and this you get caught to the body too. And I think they alluded to it on the broadcast. I kind of had the sound on for this fight. And one thing I wanted to say once I get this out of the way is that the body strikes can take anybody out. However, listening to the broadcast in this fight, you can't tell the difference between Joe Rogan and Jimmy Smith. The only difference between the two of them is that Jimmy Smith has a little bit of an accent. Crazy.
Good point.
Yeah. So, anyways, Obama Mercier looking good. Let's see. I hope we can see more of these kind of high action, you know, stoppages from him. But yeah, Evan Dunham doesn't know us anything either, Tony. And I would have no problem with him leaving on this particular fight or having seeing him again in the octagon because, again, I think he just got caught in this one.
I do need to mention this. You said there's not much difference. Actually, I think Jimmy Smith is incredible and a great replacement for Joe if Joe ever decides to hang him up, because I actually enjoy Joe, especially the ow.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say, two men that are maybe 5'8", 5'9", falling. So two men that are basically 5'8", 5'9", definitely in good shape. Follically challenged. Yeah, I think they're very similar.
Listen, and I think that's exactly why they brought Jimmy Smith in at this juncture. Joe Rogan is probably on his way out. He's said that many times. And, you know, I'm not hating on Jimmy Smith at all. I even in his Bellator days, I thought very, very knowledgeable fella, talented on the mic. They definitely are grooming him to take over for Joe Rogan. I believe that as well. And of course, having that similar cadence and that similar way of speaking will keep, you know, the casual fan kind of engaged, because they're used to hearing, certain voices on the broadcast. And that's only going to help having Jimmy Smith there. And of course, very, very talented, both of them.
Proteus, I want to get into this one because two of our favorite fighters fought, but let me finish this card. Ashley Evans-Smith defeated Beck Rawlings. And of course, in the lightweight, you know what, by the way, really refreshing to have 9 fights as opposed to 13 or 12. I'm sorry, they need to shorten that. And Devin Clark defeated Mike Rodriguez. I want to ask you about this before we get, I do want to move to Bendo Huerta. You're a big, of course, Huerta fan. I'm a big Bendo fan. Beck Rawlings, I've always had an affinity for Beck Rawlings. I don't know what it is. Obviously, maybe her Instagram pictures have a lot to do with it. And I'm not into tattooed women, but I do think she's certainly an attractive person with racy photos.
She has a
four
good
straight
asset.
Losses. Ooh, you know what? I'm going to have to give you a rim shot on that one, because that was fantastic, Proteus. Hang on. Of course it doesn't work, right? There you go. Boy, you know, this delay is driving me crazy, Proteus. I'll insert that. Edit. But let me ask you this. I don't think she's of UFC quality, I hate to say. I love the fact that she's a mother and has done, you know, I do like Beck Rawlings. Four straight losses, Proteus. Four straight losses.
Yeah.
And KO'd by PVZ. You can say that was fluky. Tisha Torres really beat her unanimously. Split decision via Jessica Rose Clark. I thought that was a one-sided fight. Ashley Evans-Smith, I thought that was a one-sided fight too. Before we move on to Huerta and Bendo, what say you about, is Beck Rawlings a UFC fighter? Let me be frank.
I think what you just said, and it's enough evidence for us to say that she's not. I mean, I'm not hating on her either, but maybe this division isn't as deep as we would like it to be, but you know, four straight losses. Four, if I'm correct, this fight wasn't overly exciting either. I didn't watch this particular fight. I heard online it wasn't very exciting, so I wanted to get into the meat and the potatoes of the card. But like you just said, yeah, I mean, maybe it's Invicta bound for her. Maybe she can be, you know, a big fish in a small pond in Invicta and kind of maybe get some confidence back. And I don't think there'd be a resurgence of Beck Rollins in the UFC. I think, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, fighting is hard. You know what I mean? It just is. And maybe she just needs to go to Invicta and get some confidence back. I don't know. But no, we don't need to see Beck Rollins again in the UFC, in my opinion.
And it's a shame because I do like Beck Rollins. Let's get into Bellator 196. It took place the day before in Budapest, Hungary. Kudos to, even though it was on tape delay, kudos to Bellator to show it in prime time. But boy, come on, they really need to work on that. Seriously, they really need to work on that. You know, James Gallagher was canceled. That was a fight that was certainly worth seeing, especially in Europe. But I gotta ask you, Bendo defeated Roger Huerta, second round submission, a guillotine choke. And you know, Bendo actually typically is a decisionator, there's no doubt about it. A huge Bendo fan. I was a Roger Huerta fan. I didn't know that he kept fighting. But Proteus, I gotta tell you, Roger Huerta, I don't think he wants to fight any longer. I think he needs to fight maybe for monetary reasons, but he's not the same Roger Huerta 10 years ago. That's for darn sure. Did you see that fight, Proteus? What say you about that fight? How about that?
Yeah, I caught the highlights of this particular fight. Again, Tony, I think leading into this fight, we all knew what this fight was for Benson Henderson. It was a showcase fight for him. And Roger, coming into this fight, had said this: he's just on a one-fight deal with Bellator. He had no intention of signing any kind of long-term deal with Bellator. Bellator brought Huerta in as name recognition. As he said, a lot of us hardcore fans, we're fans of Roger Huerta. I mean, he did a lot for the sport back in the day. As I mentioned, first gentleman to be, or first MMA fighter to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I know I got that wrong last time when we talked on Thursday, but he did a lot for the sport. And I expected this result. Was glad to see him back, glad to see him shining on the number two promotion in the world, and not surprised to see that Benson Henderson, you know, throttled him in this particular fight. I don't really have much more to say on it than that.
Yeah, kudos to Bendo to do what people thought would happen anyway, but he still did it. So kudos to Bendo on that. I don't want to see Roger Huerta look like that. I think Roger Huerta has meant more to the sport, like you said, than what we've seen.
Right.
Let's close out the show, Pro, because this is, I actually love doing shows at this hour. I know you can't because you're usually running your business, but I'll tell you, it's great, I think, being, on the block, if you will, to talk about this. Listen, my Twitter follow of the week, if nothing more than her most recent photo on Twitter, you know I'm a huge Megan Anderson fan. And again, I'm not really into women that have tattoos. That's just not what I typically go for. But there's something about Megan Anderson in a side ponytail. Good God, Proteus. There's something about that. And I don't mean to use the Lord's name in vain, but boy, she drives me insane. Not a big fan of her YouTube channel, just her breathing, but everything else, I love Megan Anderson. So follow Megan Anderson at, I know, that sounds wrong, right? Does that sound wrong? Edit, we'll edit fine. That out. But Megan Anderson, I think, to me, is just someone special. So we follow her at Megan_MMA. She needs to get a better Twitter name than that. And my TV show of the week, Proteus, which I never thought I'd get into this, it's a TV show called Barry on HBO. It's a dark comedy. It's about a man that's a hitman that somehow wants to be an actor. I know it sounds convoluted, crazy. There are three episodes in, but it's actually pretty good. And it stars Bill Hader of SNL. It also has Fonzie, for those who know Henry Winkler. pretty interesting show, Proteus. Proteus, I'm going to throw to you. What you got?
Okay, Tony, I don't really have any of a Twitter follower or anything like that. Just some housekeeping real quickly. I'm going to give this particular weekend a push. All three of us, Pam, Marco, and myself, chose Rose. None of us got the particular end of the fight correct. You're not in the rankings at all because you chose the wrong person. The only thing you got right was decision. But good job, Tony, anyway. So this one's a push. Everybody's a winner this weekend. Marco is holding on to his title as champion for this particular week. Again, guys, we're back on the road again pretty much almost every single weekend except for, we got a little break between April 21st and May 12th. So we're back to the grind again, guys. Everybody was missing the UFC with a three-week break, so we're back at it, ready to go again. And, that's it. Talk to you Thursday. Oh, one more thing.
Atta boy.
The bump.
Yes, sir.
Check that out. Go check out the bump. We covered this WrestleMania. Go check out the bump on all podcast providers.
Yeah, I can't really provide much content in terms of pro wrestling, to be honest, because I just don't follow the sport. But I thought Mr. G did a great job. Hopefully we'll get some junkies or other people that are interested that'd like to be on the show. Proteus, let's get out of here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.